Hey. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Boys. Yeah. Holla, holla. Holla, we them boys. Holla, we them boys. Holla, 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 we making noise.
We kick off our number two right here on Fan Run Radio. All phone calls brought to you on the Big Orange Philly phone lines. Check them out in Halls, Manderville Pike, and give us a call at 865-546-8200. Up first today, we have Matt on the horn. What's up, Matt? You're on Three and Out.
What's up, guys? Good morning.
Morning. Good morning.
Man, it's just it's a good time of year, isn't it? I feel like we got a little break now. We can kind of just breathe. Nothing's going on. Nothing important in sports.
Nothing important?
No, what are we into right now?
Baseball.
Yeah, baseball's baseball.
Biggest series of the regular season starts tomorrow.
Playing at number one, LSU.
Yeah,
I know, man. I'd talk about baseball after we win.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Hey, man, I had this conversation, Matt, not to derail your call. You can feel free to
dude, you
know,
can't derail my calls, brother. They're already derailed.
So, I can't remember the order of the games exactly. We killed Kentucky in football, right?
Yeah.
Did we play Georgia the next week, or was it?
I think it was the next week.
I had this philosophical thought, shared it with a few people. No one has a good answer for this. But why do we talk trash before games at all, ever? Like, we had just destroyed Kentucky. Kentucky fans had talked trash.
As Tennessee fans?
No. Just any sports fan at all, any sport, doesn't matter. But we always...
What do you want them to say? Well, good luck on the field this week, gents. May the best team win.
No. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, we just killed Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of just taking a few days to rub it in Kentucky people's faces...
On to Georgia.
We went on to Georgia in like 12 minutes. It was like, we're going to kill Georgia too.
I think the
score
score did all the talking in the Kentucky game.
I know, but
there's not much we can say when it's 44-6.
But you really don't have to put yourself out there. That's really what Matt just said. I just talked trash for baseball after we beat
them.
No,
that's a good point.
Like, why do we even... You don't really know what's going to happen, especially in a 50-50 game where it could go either way. Like, why not just talk trash always in past tense? We freaking killed Kentucky. Back to the coal mines. I mean, that's just as fun. I mean, that's fun.
Yeah.
I don't. Nate, it's more fun to me to talk trash to Kentucky after we whoop their ass.
Yeah, but a lot of times
preemptively talk trash to Georgia when I don't know if we're going to win or lose.
But after the games, losing fans disappear. So you're not talking to anyone. You're tweeting at nobody.
I feel like you're always kind of tweeting at nobody.
Oh, that's fair. That's a good point.
There's more tweeters than people that read tweets.
What really sucks is I grew up, and so did you guys. You know, we were 90s. And early 2000s, guys. Mm-hmm. So we could talk trash at any time, anywhere. I was calling sports talk with the Swamp Rat back in the day. I'd bash every team prior to playing them for 6 days straight. But you go from 2003 to 2023, you're eating humble pie for 20 years, two decades. I don't think Tennessee fans have the right to talk trash even after we beat Kentucky. Because if you remember, Kentucky went on a little tear with us there for about 5 years. So it's like next year if we beat Georgia. I'll revel in it for a day. I might talk trash that day, but I'm not going to sit there and act like we're dominant over Georgia when they've just, you know, same thing with Alabama. Alabama's beat us, what, 14 years in a row? What are you going to talk trash? You going to sit there and talk trash when you just got it handed to you 14 years straight? Maybe beat them 2 or 3 years in a row.
Well, they're 0-1 in the last one.
Hey, like this year's Florida game. This is a good example. We beat Florida last year. It felt good, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not talking trash going into this one?
No, I don't think you can. When's the last time you beat Florida at Florida? Now, if you
2003.
Yeah, 20 years, right? Two decades, you haven't beat them in their place, in their house?
Yeah, when you put it that way.
So, but if we do beat them, that's 2 years in a row. I think that earns the right to solidify you above the Florida program, and they can just, you know, they can wrestle them gators or whatever they do down there in them trailers. I don't care.
So after we win, we talk.
Hmm.
I think so. Yeah, I'll probably talk trash the week of.
Yeah, you got to talk a little trash.
Yeah.
I will because we beat them last year. But if you haven't been, like, I'm not going to talk trash to Alabama.
Really?
You know, you're playing at Alabama. I mean, yeah. Dude, I think we can beat Florida this year. I don't think we're going to beat Alabama at Alabama. I wish we would, but I think we got a better chance of beating Georgia at home than we do beating Bama at Bama. What do y'all think about that?
I don't know. It's going to be weird because they're both losing quarterbacks. I mean, they've got a quarterback battle going on. I don't know. I guess it's going to be, was it Vandergriff that played last year for Georgia? Did he come in and play?
I can't remember who they brought in.
No,
they brought somebody
guy.
Against Oregon.
But I mean, I'd still say, yeah, you got a better chance of winning here. But also,
well,
that game
lost all their skill position. They lost Jameer Gibbs. They lost Will Anderson.
Yeah, no, they lost. Yeah, they. But they it is Bama. Them and Georgia, they're going to reload.
Oh yeah.
Hey guys, does Leah Thomas talk trash prior to a swimming event?
Don't know.
Apparently, he exposes himself in the locker room. So I don't know. Do you count that as talking trash?
You just. I'm just going to hang up on that one, man. My mind just went to about 1,000 comments. See ya.
It's really sad. That whole thing's really sad. If you want more info, just Google Riley Gaines on Twitter. See her tearful comments about that. It's funny, though, right? Like, you can win a big game, and I think it's probably just the whole thing about wanting more, right? It's just not being satisfied. I mean, you could probably win the national championship and there'd be some fans out there talking smack about the next season already. We're going to go back to back. It's like, it's just our thirst for more, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, we whooped Kentucky. I bet we can beat Georgia, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's just take a minute and rub it in the Kentucky fans' face. But
at that time, there's also a lot of hope. And I mean,
part of it is what
box.
You're saying, too. There's no one out there to debate at that point.
Yeah.
It's very clear who sucks and who's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you lose 44-6, it can't be, well, the refs or, you know, this one play or.
I guess you probably do talk a little more smack, like, after the Alabama win with Alabama fans.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Alabama fans are saying, well, you guys were at home and, things went your way. If our kicker makes his kick, your guy
right.
probably misses his. You know, it's a close game, you know, whatever. They can be like, we'll get you the next time.
Yeah, and they're so hurt. But because it was close, they're like, well, I'm going to talk and convince you that your team should have lost.
Yeah.
So
they're convincing themselves that they could have
won,
too.
Sure, but it's there is a dialogue there, and you get to make them feel even worse because, you know, you did win. When you lose by 50, it's just like, well, see you next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought that was interesting, though. I couldn't, you know, how fast people just flip from one to the next.
The most important game, Nate, is always the next one.
Okay.
It's a snap and clear mentality.
All right.
Maybe I don't like snap and clear, but.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that one.
Speaking of Kentucky, did you see what DJ Wagner's driving around campus in Lexington?
No, what's he driving?
If you had to guess what kind of car Kentucky would get their 5-star McDonald's All-American Game MVP to drive around campus, what would you guess?
We'll go with the classic, an Escalade. How about an Escalade?
Too poor.
Oh.
How do you say it? Rolls-Royce?
Rolls-Royce.
That's the one.
Seriously?
Rolls-Royce.
I was going to go Maserati like Tony V.
When they get him a
thoroughbred. Too cheap. Rolls-Royce.
Yikes.
If that puppy breaks down, they have to send somebody from England to fix it.
Mm.
They usually don't break down. They're pretty well-made vehicles.
Are they? Well, sometimes those high-end vehicles break down more, you know? It just depends. I didn't know. The old rolls don't break down, huh?
I think there's like a certain amount of time where if like something goes wrong with your car, they have to send a mechanic from Rolls-Royce to fix it.
Yeah.
I think it's free for like the first 5 years or something.
Well, I mean, you've paid enough for the vehicle.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Checks out.
I don't know.
Rolls-Royce.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I thought you were going to say it was something cheap.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I thought we were going to be surprised by how janky it was, but...
No, I mean, I felt pretty good when, you know, Nico was taking the pictures with the Volkswagen, or not the Volkswagen, the G-Wagon, and then Hendenhooker got that, I don't know what the class was, but the Mercedes SUV, it's like, oh, man, we got Mercedes, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky just like, oh, yeah, that's neat. We're giving out Lambos and Rolls Royces. Give me a break.
Okay.
What a weird... I just, like... Where is... Like, where do you get a Rolls Royce near Lexington? Do you have to go to Louisville? And why... I mean, I know there's a lot of horse money up there, but... Jeez, man. I did see... I don't know how long it's been there. Nashville has a Ferrari dealership now. That was pretty cool. Drove by that on the interstate. Remember, I went to one in L.A. one time. Not in, but just looking through the window. Always like Ferraris.
Mm.
Anyway, maybe we can get our guys some, you know, scooters or something.
Yeah, the Rolls, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. We'll come back one more hour, too. If you want to give us a shout, 865-546-8200, the number to join the Big Orange Philly phone lines.
Say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on.
Hour two continues here, the live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio.
Some of these concept cars by Ferrari, wow. They're not even really concepts. I mean, you can get one. The Monza SP1, single seat. Think about that.
Okay. Single seat.
Wasn't kidding.
What's happening on that other side? Just all engine.
It's an air ride. I have no idea.
Just all battery. Like, what's going on over there?
I don't know. This thing's probably got like a bajillion horsepower. Timeless style, they say.
Okay.
Timeless. It's in the Icona series of cars. Interesting.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of the stuff's written in Italian, so I'm like, well, I don't speak the language, and I certainly don't read it. I mean, probably. Oh, 360 view of the engine. That's neat. That's helpful. You know, if you're going to buy a Ferrari, you definitely want to be able to look at that. At least I would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
V12,
yeah.
0 to 100 kilometers in 2.9 seconds. What's that, about like 67 miles an hour?
That sounds about roughly correct. Something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That All right. is wild. 2.9 seconds?
Yeah. Well, there's not extra seats. It's just you. It's a light load.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
The guy in the video had a helmet on, though. Maybe you have to wear a helmet. I'm assuming... You know what that other side part might be, Nate? It might be something that comes up and over the driver's seat to cover it.
Oh.
Maybe.
So it's a single convertible style?
Yeah.
So you can go open, single side, or closed?
I don't know if you can go... There's no gas. There's no glass.
Huh.
No windshield.
Just, you got to feel that 2.9 in your hair?
apparently...
I'm going to put this 100 on the dash. You see if you can catch it when I take off.
Right. It looks like it does come... In a two-seater, the two-seater is the SP2.
Uh-huh.
And it does come with a free pair of driving gloves. Because, you know, you'd hate to not have those when you're driving around, you know, the Autobahn, wherever you would want to take such a beautiful vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You'd hate to not have gloves. You get your hands all, you know, dry and chapped. Because, I mean, no windshield. So it's just air on your hands. So those gloves would really come in handy. Chase says we can borrow his Ferrari. It's currently in the form of student loan debt.
Mm.
I will. I might take you up on that once you get it back in the form of a Ferrari. Have you seen like the new like the paddle shifters they have now?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Ferrari forever, like, they didn't make an automatic.
Right.
And now they and now you can, I think you literally turn a knob and it can go from automatic to manual.
Okay.
But the, because it's a Ferrari, so they want you to have two hands on the wheel, so now they have those paddle shifters. But even if, I think I read that even if you miss a shift, it'll shift itself eventually. Okay. So you don't over rev the engine.
Yeah, you're not doing anything stupid.
Nice little safeguard tip there by Ferrari. Maybe one day. Maybe one day I'll see one. Touch it. All right, that's enough car talk.
What's up? I mean, you ever gone to a car dealership and test drive something that you were never, ever even going to consider buying?
No.
I don't think I've ever done that either. Surely people do that, though, right? Just go down to the Maserati dealership, like...
wear a suit and just be like,
I don't know.
I'm looking at some other cars in town, but...
Maybe a Porsche or something, you know, not as crazy.
What's the release form like on that?
Yeah, I don't know. Most places where I'm buying cars, they're like, yeah, here, give me your license, take it, whatever, I don't care.
Have it back by tomorrow at noon.
Yeah.
You have a 200
hey,
mile.
That's an enterprise.
Yeah. Just
Well, last car I bought, the daggone market was so bad, I kind of bought it sight unseen, even though it was used. Just asked the sales lady. I was like, "Hey, is this thing got any smells inside?" And she's like, "No, it's kind of brand new to me." She's like, "Here's the one thing I found wrong with it. It was a rock chip on the front bumper." About the size of a lead pencil tip. I'm like, okay, if this thing's the way it is, then I'm good.
So you had the truck delivered?
They drove it up, yeah.
They drove it from where?
Like Georgia, it wasn't far.
Mine came from Virginia. It got shipped. It was on the back of a big...
Well, I told you what happened with my electric car, like whatever that was, 8 years ago.
No.
It's not all electric, but anyway. So it came from Connecticut. And they brought it on the truck. But the truck didn't want to come up the hill in our neighborhood and get caught, you know, having to turn around. Although there was plenty of space. I mean, they could have done that. So he's like, he actually walked up, all the way up, I think, to the house and said, "Hey, I've got your car down here on the truck. I want you to come down and see that it did come on the trailer because I'm going to drive it off the trailer. I'll just drive it up your driveway.
I got you.
You know, but I wanted to show you that we didn't, like, have somebody drive it from Connecticut."
Sure.
Because the deal was that it would be shipped. I'm like, okay, cool. So he drives it up, parks in the driveway, whatever. We check it out. It's all good. He said, I looked in, like, the little trunk compartment, and I was like, where's the charger? He's like, the charger's not in there? It's like, no charger. They sent him. This was way before Tesla became even a thing. And the guy was like, huh. Yeah, I guess they forgot the charger. They sent an electric vehicle, forgot the charger. I felt like I was in some Seinfeld or Curb episode, you know, like with the...
You can take the reservation. Right? You just can't hold the reservation.
You know what I mean?
And, like, that's really the most important part.
Like, I brought my cell phone on the trip, but I don't have the charger, so...
Yeah, thank you for this car.
It's a paperweight.
That I can't drive.
But it's not all electric, so you can drive.
Yeah.
You know, it just flips the gas. It's really the greatest thing
ever. How long
did
it take you to get a charger?
They overnight. The dealership overnighted it. They didn't care. That's fine.
Just curious.
I mean, yeah, they got the, you know, they cover the. They sold a car. They'll cover the $50 shipping fee or whatever.
That was nice of them.
Yeah. All right. Enough about cars. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get right back to the phone line. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.
I think I found one.
Chris is searching Google Earth for crocodiles.
That's right.
Right?
Well, I mean, everyone says, oh, Australia is just packed with crocodiles. Like, well, there aren't that many trees. Let's see if I can find one.
Couldn't you just, like, travel? If you want to see, like, a huge Nile crocodile, can you just, like, travel the Nile?
Well, the Nile is, but they're not the biggest ones.
They're not?
No, the saltwater crocs in Australia. Okay. That's why I went to Australia.
I'm glad we have that established.
I bet you, though, you could just roll and scroll the Nile and find them, because there's some places where it's like
they're just all laying out.
Yeah, there's like 100 in a stretch, you know.
Sunbathing,
eating antelope and zebras, something like that.
All right, to the Big Arch Philly phone lines. I don't know how you're gonna follow this, but what's up, Jay? You're on three now.
Well, guys, I don't have any interesting crocodile facts.
That's a shame.
I'm just not to. Well, you know what? I did hear that it's the saltwater crocs that will actually hunt and eat people, though. Compared to like alligators, for example, the saltwater crocs will actually stalk you and try to kill you.
Yeah, they can get huge too. Like 16, massive. 18 feet, maybe bigger. I don't know.
Well, tell them what started this. The alligator, was it alligator or small croc?
Alligator,
right?
Yeah, this 18-foot python had eaten a 5-foot crocodile, and they caught the snake and cut it open, and they're like, yep, 5-foot croc, which is just, that's like.
Dude, the Everglades is the animal thunderdome. I mean.
Well, especially now that they've got all the pythons that were like, you know, they were kept at reptile farms and people bought them as pets, and then they just released them, and now they've bred like crazy. I think you can get paid like $80 a snake to just go out into the Everglades and catch pythons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's like a documentary on YouTube where it follows these Florida swamp, basically Florida man, into the swamps, and they go and just grab these things by the head. It's crazy. You know, just stacking them up, man. It's wild.
Terrifying.
I think they get paid by the foot. It's so many.
Oh, okay.
Things per foot. So,
like $40 a snake and then an extra 10 per foot or something?
Yeah.
Oh, something that'd be.
Like that. So, yeah. It pays to get the big boys.
Got it. Right.
Yeah.
There you go. A little more added level of difficulty there, too, I would imagine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So boys, do we think Caitlin Clark's going to drop about 40 on South Carolina and upset them or what?
That'd be fun.
I think it'll be a game because she'll be playing for Iowa. I mean, she's good enough to take a game like this over. I mean, South Carolina, I think, is easily the best team. Uh-huh. But Caitlin Clark, like, I don't think Iowa's a bad team, but Caitlin Clark she's very different than Aaliyah Boston. Boston's very big, great post. There aren't many like her, but
Caitlin Clark is different.
She's just, she's different. She's like a smaller, faster-ish Diana Taurasi. Like, she plays her best in the biggest games, which is, like, I feel like South Carolina all season has been very consistent. This is the metronome. This is how we play every night, and that's why we're so good. Caitlin Clark's had games where she goes for 15 and they win. Then she's had, you know, games where they were playing a good team and she goes for 49 and they lose. But she's always playing to the level of competition. I can't wait to see what she does against South Carolina.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting, actually. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. It sounds like we're going to get a pretty big commitment tomorrow at quarterback.
Merklinger.
Yes. Pretty impressive that Heupel can pull that kid. He does.
Yeah, that'd be because that was. I mean, it's funny how recruiting works, but especially at quarterback, like you get a 5-star stud, or you've got a sophomore who's really blossomed and he's really really good, and you think, oh well, that stinks. We're not going to get it. You already have a good quarterback, but you're worried about not getting the next one.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to feel like, you know, assuming one of Nico or Joe has a good year this year, this may just become, you know, a destination for, because what does he rank, Jay? He's like the 55th best player in the country.
Yeah. I mean,
high 4-star. Well, yeah.
Yeah. From what I understand, Georgia legitimately wants this kid. And he's from Savannah.
Yeah. It's down to what, like Tennessee, Georgia, did I see Michigan?
I think North Carolina was
Michigan. Yeah, no, North
Michigan State.
Michigan State and then North Carolina I saw.
Georgia, Florida.
Yeah.
On three, at least, so, that's what it says.
I didn't think we was going to be able to get a kid of this caliber with Nico here as a freshman, but if he does, heck, that's great. So,
I guess the theory there is, you know, if you're Josh Heupel and you're selling it, you say, well, look, here's the deal: we don't really have a backup quarterback, so Nico's not going to redshirt. And if he's as good as we think, he's only going to be here for 3 years. So you, if you redshirt, you may sit behind him 1 year as the backup, and then you can take over and have 3 years to play, or two, depending on the numbers you're going to put up. So it's kind of funny, even though they're in back-to-back classes, just the way you can sell that as a coach, you know, I mean, and obviously the stats and the data speak for themselves. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw this, but I forget the guy's name, but Hendon Hooker is suddenly being mocked into the top 10, like by multiple guys.
Yeah, I'm starting to see their feature image on an ESPN mock is him in the center and some other dudes around him.
Yeah, like he could go, what are they saying, like maybe third quarterback overall? I mean, I'm not surprised that he crushed all of his interviews because we knew he was going to do that. But, whew, I mean, just coming off the injury, I was like, well, you know, he'll slip probably to the second round, late second. Someone will take a flyer on him. But, yeah, sounds like. And it's also weird. We get to this time of year and people start floating stuff to get people off the trail and kind of shake up the conversations around quarterbacks. But that would be pretty awesome if he goes first round.
I think his age is hurting him too, honestly.
I do too, because he'll be a 25-year-old rookie.
25, 26.
Yeah.
I saw Dan Orlovsky talking. They was like, well, if Hendon like sits 1 year to learn the system and then plays, he's going to be a 27-year-old quarterback starting for the first time ever.
Right. And Lamar Jackson, by the way, is 26.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, he was basically arguing that he likes Hendon Hooker, but he doesn't know if he would take him at number five.
Sure, yeah.
Because of his age. But
I do want we'll age was definitely going to be a knock on him. I do wonder if he doesn't get hurt. It feels like if he doesn't get hurt, he's a lock for the first round. And he's in the conversation of – because I can't remember who
– Tenenbaum.
That's who it was.
He could have been the number one pick.
Yeah, he said he could have been number one. And someone said, like, wait, how do you think that? He's like, go watch the Alabama tape.
Yeah.
And watch the throws, watch the runs he was making early in that game to soften up that defense and pull everybody kind of close. And then the accuracy that he was throwing the deep ball with, some of the stuff over – I mean – obviously, all the touchdowns to Jalin Hyatt were awesome. The last two throws he made in that game to Ramel Keaton and then that deep one to Brew McCoy as he got rocked in the arm and it got there on time, those were two of my favorite throws of the year. And all the touchdowns were awesome for Hyatt, but those were tough throws against a really good defense.
Think about it. Who has lit up Alabama like that? Trevor Lawrence? Joe Burrow, maybe? Deshaun Watson, I mean, you can probably count on one hand in the last 10 years who's a quarterback has lit up Alabama the way he did.
Yeah.
It's a pretty small list.
Well, you know, I was going to say, the only other two are
Nick
Chad Kelly. And that was a little bit different, but yeah. But like Chad Kelly and Johnny Football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but those guys are what they're head cases. I mean,
right.
It's true, they did, but they don't have the mental acuity to go and be an NFL QB like Hendon does.
Right. I did see, I forget the guys, is it Clark Brooks who does SEC StatCat, said Hendon's throws over 40 yards, he had an uncatchable rate of like 33%, which was the highest in the SEC over the last 2 years. And that's an interesting stat considering how well we all thought he threw the deep ball. But I would also like to see how many attempts he had over 40 compared to, you know, Will Levis this year. They didn't really go deep that much as compared to the year before. So I was just, I don't know, I found that to be kind of a curious stat.
I never thought Hendon's deep ball was an issue. I mean, the stats may say different, but just watching and feeling, I never thought like Joe was at the beginning of last year, where I just felt like, man, it doesn't matter. He's just going to overthrow him.
Right.
I always felt like Hendon threw a good deep ball.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did too. And it felt like he changed his throwing motion from his first year to last year. And I think it made not change it drastically, but I feel like he made a couple of tweaks and it just seemed to really fly out of his hand this year a lot better.
Well, boys, we'll see. When is the draft before I get off here? When is that exactly?
It's about a month away.
Pro day tomorrow for Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we have the LSU. Thanks for the call, Jay. Yeah, the LSU series starting.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball opening day.
Yeah.
And we have Tennessee's Pro Day.
Oh, we forgot one.
What?
Kyle Trask. In the SEC championship game. They lost the game, but he did go 26 of 40 for 408 and 3 touchdowns.
It seems like it's happening more and more recently. So if I wanted to play devil's advocate, I'd be like, I don't feel like these Alabama defenses are like the old ones, you know.
I'd agree with that.
And, I mean, that's the whole debate around Hendon Hooker. How much is he good? How much is it Heupel's system? Obviously, it's some of both.
Yeah, how much translates to the next level?
If Hendon Hooker's playing under Jeremy Pruitt here, it's not going to look the same. Yeah. But he's obviously was able to play well in that system, play really, really well in that system. So it's a, you know, that's the classic debate with projecting any college.
That'd be pretty cool if we ended up with two first rounders. Because Darnell Wright's going top probably 20. If Hendon could somehow sneak into that first round, that'd be big.
Well, Hyatt was supposed to be a first rounder. And
well, hey, he could be depending on what he runs tomorrow.
And you always have some shocking picks.
Who would be throwing him the ball tomorrow? Because Hendon's hurt. Do they have, like, Joe come out and throw to these guys?
Yeah, they might. They have guys all the time. They have, like, some walk-ons throwing the ball 1 year I was there. They were still on the team.
Well, North Carolina had their pro day, and, of course, all the scouts were there to just see Drake May, even though he's not in the draft.
Oh,
like, he was slinging
but
all
he
over
was the throwing to the...
He was throwing to the receivers,
Maybe they can. For some reason, I thought they changed that rule.
Oh,
where,
like, the current players can't.
I mean, they probably asked Joe, hey, do you want to throw? I mean, do you take the – I mean, it's an early look. People look at you, dang, he can launch it.
They'll learn that pretty quick. Kid can spin
or
it.
Or do you just get one of those walk-on dudes or, you know, Shuler?
If I'm Hyatt, I don't even know if I want to catch. I think I just want to run my 40 and get out of there.
Yeah, a lot of times the higher-end guys won't even do drills because it's just – it's really only a chance for them to make a mistake.
Exactly, you know?
Well, like Cam Newton came back and threw at Auburn's.
Yeah, that was
kind of weird.
How many passes did they say he threw?
I don't know.
Like 100?
Evidently, his brother came back and wanted him to throw to him or something like that, too. Mm. I forgot where his brother came from. But
yeah, that was – thought that was kind of interesting.
Hmm. All right, we'll come back. Final segment, hour two next. Final segment, hour number two. I'm kind of pumped about this baseball series tomorrow because there's not much for us to lose. I mean, they got all the pressure.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess we could look terrible, but
yeah.
I mean, what's, you know, they're the home team. If it was here, it'd be more pressure.
Obviously, you want to win the series. A sweep is ideal. Mm-hmm. It feels to me, given the circumstances, like just don't get swept. You know, and don't get. Let's not get one of those like, because they've done it to a few teams this year that were supposedly pretty good, like the 17-3 game or the 24-3 game. Let's not have one get away from us to where we're just completely demoralized. Gosh, it's going to be.
I think KP's on the call tomorrow night. I think I heard Burke say, because Burke's going to another game.
KP here. He's been. I think he's still broadcasting from his basement.
Well, I mean, wasn't Burke at home? Or
yeah, I think
like
so.
That?
I think so. Which I get it. I mean, there's a lot of baseball games that get expensive for a while.
Yeah.
Feels like later in the season, though, some of the SEC series you get. In the booth, guys. Like, didn't we give Dave Neal a bunch last year? We had Kessling a few times. Burke, definitely a few times. So, it's a big one.
Yeah.
Big opportunity. But I do agree with you. I think the pressure's on LSU for a variety of reasons. A, yes, they're at home. They're the number one ranked team in the country. There have been some questions about their schedule to this point, which may add a little bit of pressure as far as how they if things were to go poorly for LSU early, you know, you get down 3-0, did they start thinking like, oh man, maybe we're not as good as we thought, and then maybe you can snowball them a little bit, but I don't know. Definitely need the starting rotation to pitch a little bit better. No changes. Obviously, everyone gets moved up a day with it being a Thursday series, but it will be Dolander, Burns, Beam. And based on the way he pitched people last night, I don't think anybody went longer than, what, 2 innings?
9 guys.
Yeah, 9 guys. So
yeah,
it sounds like we'll have the full bullpen.
Big arms.
No.
Your main guys, your Alversons.
But I think they said, like they'd all be available if you needed them. Like even Sechrist and Howard.
I don't know what they have pitching wise behind Skeens. I haven't really heard. I mean, they haven't really played anybody, but Skeens has got an under one ERA on the season, like 5 starts, 2 shutouts. I mean,
I think a big key will be how we get, you know, if we can just get off to a good start in some of these games.
Yeah, you don't want to be trailing.
Yeah, I mean, we just struggled to, you know, get out of innings early.
Well, even last night, it took us a while to kind of get going. I mean, it was 0-0 going into the fifth, and then we had, I think, 2 solo shots pretty close together.
Yeah.
But we continued to get guys on base early and then not really do much to move them over.
Looks like we're number 1 in ERA, and they're number 1 in batting average as a team.
Something's got to give.
Yeah. Pretty excited about it, though, to be this early in the season.
Buddy, the next 4 are going to be pretty...
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of baseball.
It is kind of interesting. I obviously don't know what's going to happen. I don't think Tennessee's about to rattle off 16 straight wins. Mm-hmm. Or, no, 12. But, I mean, if you play well the next 4 weekends, there's a chance you could climb right back up to that number 1 spot. Mm-hmm. I don't know how... I mean, if you were to somehow win all 4 of these series, you will be the number 1 team in the country in all likelihood. And I don't even think you'd have to necessarily win all 4 for that to happen.
No, just kind of – we need to hit another gear here, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, we'll see if that can – if we have that in us. I think this is a great opportunity to have that happen. Because you're going to have the raucous crowd. I mean, it's –
No, yeah, to your point, like if we have, because we haven't really seen this team play in that type of environment mm-hmm. with the new guys that we have now and kind of this dynamic. We'll see if this team has the same dog in them, if you will.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be, I mean, this will be the craziest one, right? I mean, mm-hmm. like Vanderbilt, there were a lot of Tennessee fans at the Vanderbilt series last year. Ole Miss, it was so early and we beat their brains in. So it feels like LSU and Arkansas. Like those are, that's where your bad blood is. And then those are 2 out of your next 3 series. For a variety of reasons, Tennessee, LSU, and Arkansas, they all kind of, well, they both hate us and we hate both of them. I don't know. I guess they're a little more cordial being in the West, but. SEC baseball, catch the fever.
It's going to be crazy, man. Just series after series after series. After series. There are 4, you know, 4 big ones.
Still not sure about the schedule. I mean, I don't know. I said that when
it... Did we get hosed?
Man, how do you not, like, mm-hmm. get hosed in the SEC, though?
True.
I mean,
true.
Yeah, because even if you drop an opponent, you're still playing a quality
opponent. Yeah, the only thing... Because last year we played both Mississippi State and Ole Miss, right? And I think we swept both of those series. I mean, the only thing that's better is if you get both of them this year instead of Arkansas and LSU. But we didn't play them last year, so you have to play them. It's just the rotation. But I don't know. We'll see how good these teams are, ourselves included. I think we're a little more tested, having done the Arizona swing and that Missouri series, something still just feels weird about that. I know it was freezing cold, but come on. Didn't even show up.
Yep.
Got peppered early and then never could get the bats going late. What time's the first pitch tomorrow?
8.
Ugh.
Mm.
7 on Saturday and 2 on Sunday.
Could have done without that.
Well, they're central
to. Yeah, it's not that bad. Yeah, I know. I know. Could have been worse.
Well, I know you're so excited about the Final Four. You know, these marquee matchups.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to be glued to the TV, but I'm going to watch the Final Four. Is it? I mean, I get it, though. Like, I'm a little more excited to watch Iowa, South Carolina on the women's than I probably am
really?
Any of the. Yeah, I mean, it's the defending national champs, the best player in the country.
Mm.
I mean, she could go off for 50, and it wouldn't be the craziest thing that's happened. I mean, she's a good player. I think that.
Is this 3 in a row South Carolina's going for?
I was thinking about that last night. Is this, would this be 3 out of 4, or would this be 3 in a row?
Trying to, who else?
I'll find it. I don't remember.
She's got herself a nice little dynasty going on.
It's crazy.
And did I see that Boston could come back? She potentially has one more year?
I think so, because she was part of the COVID.
Oh, gosh.
But she'll be number one pick. She'll probably.
Hope so.
No, this would. They're just going for back-to-back, but they won it in 16-17. So
this will be her second back-to-back stretch if she wins it?
No, just her third title.
4 in 6 years, is that right? Well, you don't even count COVID, I guess.
No, this will be her third title overall.
Oh.
Only her first back-to-back. They won in 16-17.
Okay, oh, you said that. I thought you meant back-to-back years. Sorry.
They won in they won the tournament in 2017.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
Then they won it last year.
Okay.
This will be going for her third overall and only first time going back-to-back.
Gotcha.
They were 32-1 and undefeated in the SEC in 2020 when the tournament was canceled.
Jeez.
Then they went to the Final Four the next year in 21, but lost. And then last year they won the whole thing. And this year they haven't lost a game. So that year they won it in 17 was the year that UConn was undefeated.
Yeah.
And then Mississippi State, I think, beat
UConn. Yeah, I think it was Mississippi State at the buzzer.
South Carolina beat Mississippi State to win the championship. So they kind of walked into that one. But all right. We'll come back with more. Kickoff hour 3 next.